Everyone is dancing. So you all are happily situated. Did you all take breakfast?
No.
You did? You didn't, yeah? Okay. Maybe I should have asked you that. Actually, I didn't sleep well last night. Actually, and I thought that I would take some breakfast and then I would take rest. But after I took breakfast, I started to feel even worse.
No.
Because I think when the stomach is empty, it's better. Mm-hmm. Any idea until what time it will go on?
Afternoon.
Huh?
Yesterday announced until 12 o'clock or 12.
Actually, their announcement was from 3 to 12.
It started
at 12 o'clock.
Yes, yes.
Even before that, yes. I woke up at 12.
Today in the morning, one staff member told us it will be till evening.
Oh. So we reached Sydney, that's what they said. All these were going back to Sydney.
Yeah.
They have shopping orders.
Okay. I hope by the time we'll get used to it. Anyway, at least she is sleeping peacefully. Actually, my room is so bad. How many of you have the side rooms, balcony room? Okay. So because that, you see in the morning, Damodar came. Damodar was all right. And he came in my room. And he was there maybe for 15, 20 minutes. And he told me that he was feeling sick. And I told him, go back to his room and take rest. And he didn't show up after that. How is he doing, Bharata Krishna?
He's all, I mean, he's just like, lying down, he's all right. He's like, you know, and he's like, I'm
here. Anyway.
That's what they say is the best for seasickness is you just lie down flat and look at the ceiling and then it's close enough.
I mean, last night I didn't feel the rocking so bad. What was actually troubling is the sound. No, like there's such terrible sound. Here you don't see the sound, so hear the sound. And the rocking also is not so bad here because more it's in the middle, the rocking is less.
When we heard the first bang, we thought we'd hit some boat. So my reception at 1 a.m. and said, what's happening? I was sinking. But they said it's the waves hitting the boat is making that banging sound. It was, I don't know, like what another sound that was coming from the structure.
That's what you mean. Yeah.
When there's a deep ocean. So that when the part of the ship, you know, goes down, it hits the water. And that's the sound.
No, that is one sound there. But there's another sound which you are not hearing so much. I mean, it's like clattering sound, as if things are hitting each other. I think the structure is kind of making the sound. Anyway, so. All the way to Sydney.
That's what you said.
And I tell you, it will be such a relief to go. And unless there's a need to get into Noah's Ark, I'm not getting into this. Yeah, this is terrible. I mean, the last one was not so bad. It was, we hit some bad weather, but nothing like this.
Yeah.
So. When was Ekadasi?
Friday, 13th.
13th.
Makar Sankranti.
If Ekadashi is on the 13th, then it Amavasya cannot be tomorrow.
Well, Ekadashi was on the
17th.
Ekadashi was 12th. Then Amavasya will be on the 17th. Anyway, this is also Krishna's mercy. An experience worth its while. So, where is Gop Kumar now? No, Vrindavan. So Narad Muni advised him to go to Vrindavan, earthly Vrindavan, which is called Bhauma Vrindavan. And there in Vrindavan, he went to see many places of Krishna's pastimes. He sang his names most dear to him, and he sang about his pastimes loudly and sweetly. He focused his mind upon them, and he attained such a state of ecstasy and became so emotional that he just kept on crying. And he couldn't understand, that whether he is experienced the highest happiness or he was plunged into an ocean of suffering. Like, he couldn't make out whether he was living in the flames of a forest fire or in the supreme nectar of clear, cool water of Jamuna. Sometimes he felt that he has fallen in the hands of a great cheater. So, that is like that has also been described by our acharyas, that sometimes when one feels such emotion and there is no way of knowing whether it is suffering or happiness, naturally everyone wants happiness and joy. One takes to Krishna consciousness to experience supreme bliss, but instead they feel as if they are plunged into an ocean of suffering, as if they have fallen in the hands of a cheater, deceiver, who gave them the assurance of joy, but instead what he is giving is misery. So one day he fell unconscious, and at that time he saw Krishna. Krishna appeared in front of him. And with his own hand, Krishna wiped the dust from his limbs. And he stirred him back to consciousness by filling his nostrils with a beautiful fragrance which he had never experienced before. And then seeing Krishna's lotus face, Gop Kumar just stood up. And not knowing what to do, he tried to catch hold of a splendid yellow cloth. And then Krishna played his flute in his own playful way and escaped behind him. Suddenly he stepped into a grove and Gokumar ran after him, but he couldn't. He disappeared. Unable to see him, he fainted and he fell into the swift flowing Jamuna. And as it forcefully carried him away, he seemed to regain normal awareness and looked around. He saw that he was being transported to another place along with some wonderful path by a vehicle flying faster than the mind and higher than one could imagine. So then he saw that he was passing through Vaikuntha, going beyond. He watched with great delight as he passed Ajodhya and other realms. And then he arrived at the shining world above all in Goloka. Everything there appeared the same as in the divine Mathura Mandal of the material world. That place looked like, exactly like Mathura Mandal. And he was surprised to see, and happy to see that this Mathura was just like the Mathura on the earth planet. In that original Mathura, he heard that Kamsa had taken it upon himself to arrest his father and Krishna's parents, Devaki and Vasudeva. So there he heard that Kamsa had arrested Ugrasen, his father, and Vasudeva. Out of fear of Kamsa, all the Jadavas were also very distressed and they could not come out freely. Some of the Jadavas escaped elsewhere and others took shelter of him. Gokumar also became afraid of Kamsa. So he took his bath in Vishranti Ghat, that is the way to enter into Vrindavan. One first goes to Mathura and takes bath in Vishranti Ghat. And he quickly left Mathura and went to Vrindavan. So that Vrindavan felt just like the earthly Vrindavan in Bharatvarsha. There the sun was rising, and like in Vaikuntha, the sun doesn't rise. In Vaikuntha, it's always, but in Vrindavan, in like earth planet, the sun was rising, and there he saw some men who might have been cowherds wandering the forest with some ladies, advanced in years and also wearing cowherd dress, who were picking flowers. The people were different from anyone he had seen before. Someone, it appeared, had stolen the wealth of their hearts and left them helplessly in love with him. Simply by seeing them, he felt same kind of loving affection. Trying hard, he composed himself and respectfully asked them the following question. Oh, good people, are you served by happiness so vast that the greatest sages can't obtain it even in dreams? You are reservoirs of the mercy of the Lord, the husband of the goddess of fortune, mercy for which his loving devotees always pray. Please, please look with kindness upon this most wretched person who has come to you for shelter. Tell me, who is the king of this region? Where is his residence? Which road leads there? Dear, dear, most fortunate people, please be merciful to me. Who am I asking? Who am I asking you with mournful cries? Please give me some answer, O faithful devotees, if even only by gesture. Oh, please hear the words of this tormented soul. Alas, you must be under the spell of the clever cheat. So in this way, Gop Kumar asked each person he met, but no one answered. No one said anything. So at that time, Gop Kumar felt that maybe either they are deaf, they don't hear, or they're so absorbed in love and with someone's thoughts, that they do not have any other consciousness, any external consciousness. And looking around in all directions, he spotted in the distance a town adorned with essence of all sweetness. And there he heard beautiful song sung by cowherd women and the charming sound of the churning of butter and the jingling of bangles. Trying to subdue his agitated joy, he walked forward and came across a seated elderly gentleman sobbing profusely, increasingly chanting, incessantly chanting, Krishna, Krishna. With some skillful effort, he made him speak. And then he said with a choked voice that this town belongs to Nanda, the king of the cowherds, Sri Krishna's father. As soon as he heard that, Gop Kumar fainted. That this is the place of Krishna. Overcome with delight, overcome with joy, Gop Kumar fainted. Then the compassionate old man revived him. And he ran ahead and approached the gateway of the town and sat there in the gate. And there he saw that hundreds of thousands of all kinds of wonders, unseen, unheard, and unimaginable to this world, anyone of this world. So he could make out whether the people there were enjoying the highest bliss or suffering in the grip of a terrible misery. He heard the gopis' songs coupled with their crying, but he couldn't make out whether they were the songs of happiness or of greatest sorrow. Then an elderly lady came by and Gop Kumar bowed down to her and asked in a plaintive voice, "Where is Nandanandan today?" The elderly lady said, "This morning that giver of life to us Brajavasis went into the dense forest to play with his cows and friends and his respected elder brother. Later at dusk he will return." all the Brajabasis are waiting on this path along the Jamuna. Their eyes transfixed on the road. These trees stand with leaves erect, eagerly awaiting the chance to see him. Surely he will come along this path. In Vrindavan, even the trees eagerly wait to see Krishna with the leaves standing erect. Then Gopkumar saw that everyone is looking at a certain direction, and then he saw the dust was flying in the horizon, and he could hear the mooing of the cows and laughter of the boys. It was a supremely attractive murmur of Krishna's enchanting flute. That sound, sweet, melodious, diverse with musical embellishments, was like nothing ever heard in the material world. Its attractive force at once overwhelmed everyone in the cowherd village. By the power of that flute, by the power of that sound, sap flowed in a downpour from the long rows of trees. A flood of tears fell from the eyes of every embodied being in the village of the cowherds. A shower of milk rained from the breasts of all of Krishna's mothers, even the elderly, and the rapid currents of the Jamuna suddenly stood still. The sound of Krishna's flute made the sap, honey, start to drip from the trees. It made tears flow from all the living entities, not only the human beings. Even the animals started to cry hearing that sound. And breasts flew from elderly women, even though they were old. And current of Jamuna stopped. Jamuna just became still. Gopkumar couldn't make out whether that flute gave out poison or the nectar of immortality. Whether its sound was harsh like thunder or soft like water. Hotter than blazing fire or cooler than the moon. That he couldn't tell. But that sound, all the Brajavasis mad. All of them were utterly bewildered. Then he saw some women of Braja come out of their homes, bearing in their hands the things needed to greet Krishna with worship. Others who passed by held ornaments and offerings of food on their hands. So this is how all the ladies were preparing to receive Krishna. The ladies so diverse in complexion and adorned with diverse ornaments and dress put to shame the good fortune of Goddess of Fortune herself. Swiftly the ladies ran to the bank of Jamuna, absorbed in singing his names and pastimes. Gopkumar also went forward, as if pulled by someone, joining the throng of gopis rushing forward on all sides. And he also started to run quickly. Then from a distance, Gopkumar saw Krishna. His charming flute in hand, running quickly, he emerged from among his friends and animals and approached Gopkumar, saying in a sweet voice, "Look, Sridhama, here is my dear friend, Swarup, the son who shines on the lotus of your family." So, he actually belongs, Gopkumar now, his spiritual identity is being revealed. His name is Swarup. Okay, now here we actually go back to one question. Often we actually face a bewildering question whether the living entities fell from spiritual sky or came from Brahmajyoti. Came from Vrindavan or Brahmajyoti. Right? Did you face this question? Prabhupada's answer to that was, don't worry about it. Because where you came from, that doesn't matter. What matters is where you are now and where you have to go. Why unnecessarily? But here we are finding one thing, that when Gop Kumar went back, Krishna is calling him by his spiritual name, Swarup. So that means he must have been there before. So those who say that no, jivas were never in the spiritual world, and they give the description. Anyway, they give all kinds of arguments. That has been going on since 1982. That is how it all started. Somebody visited one of Prabhupada's godbrothers, and they got the idea. So, and they came and very clearly, very boldly, loudly started to tell everybody that how jivas came from Brahmajyoti. But then some of the senior disciples of Srila Prabhupada protested that. Prabhupada says jivas came from spiritual world. Back to Godhead. Back to. So unless you are there, where is the question of back to? So this is how it all started. And that hasn't been resolved as yet. But at the same time, our understanding is clear. Prabhupada gives so many examples. Prabhupada gave one example is called Kak Thaliya Nai. Kak means a crow and Thaliya means tal fruit. Nai means logic. Like, a crow sat on a tal fruit and the tal fruit fell. So somebody started to say, see, because the crow sat, that's where the tal fruit fell. And others said, no, the tal fruit was ripe, therefore it fell. So, why worry about it? Anyway, so here is, we are finding how Krishna received Gop Kumar. Seeing Gop Kumar, Krishna told Sridhama that here is my dear friend Swarup, the sun who shines on the lotus of your family. Indicating that Swarup actually belongs to Sridhama's family, Srimati Radharani's family. Krishna was dressed for the forest. His garments, earrings, and peacock feather crown all swayed to and fro. And so did his garland of kadamba flowers. His fragrance perfumed all directions, and his beautiful lotus face blossomed with a playful smile. His lotus eyes beamed with a merciful glance, and the varied assets of beauty decorated him in a singular way. The fingers of his lotus hand busily pushed back the locks of his hair, which flew about, adorned with the dust raised by the cows. His tender, divine lotus feet touched the surface of the earth just to grant her the gift of supreme splendor. Playfully dancing as they moved, they attracted everyone's heart with their great eagerness to walk quickly with large steps. Isn't this such beautiful description? The effulgence of his cloud-colored body shining with the full sweetness of youth, lit up all corners of the sky. His beauty, which captured the hearts of ever dear devotees of Braja, was an ocean abounding with countless excellence. He leaped forward and came close to Gop Kumar. Krishna came close to Gop Kumar, compelled by the affection of his helpless devotee. And just by seeing him, Gop Kumar fainted. He caught hold of Gop Kumar by the neck, and suddenly, so Gop Kumar fainted, so Krishna actually caught Gop Kumar. And then Krishna also fainted. So then, both of them fell on the ground. A moment later, Gop Kumar regained his consciousness and carefully freed his neck from Krishna's grasp. And he stood up and he saw that Krishna was unconscious on the ground, covered with dust. He was moistening the path with his tears. And some of the gopis, they thought that this is an agent of Kamsa who came to hurt Krishna. He said, look, who has come? He must be an agent of Kamsa. And lamenting in this way, the gopis cried loudly in distress as they surrounded Krishna. Then from behind Krishna, some group of cowherds quickly approached. Seeing him in such a state, they also cried pitifully. And from a distance, Nanda and other elder cowherds heard this terrible sound of crying. Mother Jashoda also heard, and together they all ran and started to exclaim, "Alas, alas!" Then the cows and bulls and calves came there, and the black deer and other animals, seeing Krishna in that state, they also wept in agony. The animals, all crying out in love, their faces drenched with floods of tears, approached Krishna one by one and gently smelled and licked him again and again. Great number of birds flying overhead, also seeing the misery, they started to make tumultuous noise. That sounded like people crying. And the immobile creatures, mining trees and plants, in great pain within, seem suddenly to dry up. What more is there to say? All beings, moving and non-moving, were on the verge of death. And Gop Kumar was drowned in an ocean of sorrow, confused about what to do, severely tormented. He put Krishna's feet on his head and began profusely sobbing and lamenting. But then Balaram quickly arrived from some distance away, full of fear. Balaram also was in anxiety. But when he came there, then he could understand what actually happened. Then he made Gop Kumar hold Krishna by the neck with his arms, and he wiped Krishna's beautiful limb with his hands and made him loudly call out to him by many plaintive cries. And then he made him lift Krishna up from the ground. And then Krishna opened his eyes. And seeing Gop Kumar, Krishna joyfully embraced him and kissed him. But then he looked around and became embarrassed. So this is how Gopkumar arrived in Vrindavan. Isn't it wonderful? Like as if Krishna was waiting for him to come back. And when he came back, Krishna was so happy that he fainted. Actually, Gopkumar fainted. And when Gopkumar fainted, Krishna just caught him from falling. But in the process of doing that, Krishna also fainted. And both of them fell on the ground, fainted. Now, Gopkumar regained his senses, and then he saw the condition. He got up and he saw that Krishna was there, and seeing Krishna in that condition, everyone became so worried. Like the gopis started to cry, saying that this must be one of the demons that Kamsa has sent. They addressed, they thought that Gopkumar was the demon who Kamsa sent to harm Krishna. So the point is, in Golok Vrindavan also, they carry that impression of Kamsa. As we saw, in Mathura also, they had the impression that Kamsa has arrested Ugrasen, put Vasudev and Devaki in the prison, and tormenting all the Jadus, and being harassed by Kamsa, and being afraid by Kamsa. Many of the Jadus left that place. Some, those who were living there, they were living in extreme anxiety, and some even submitted themselves to Kamsa. So Gopkumar took bath quickly to Vishranti Ghat and left Vrindavan, left Mathura, and he came to Vrindavan. So when he came to Vrindavan, there he saw people, so he saw some men and some women. They were picking flowers, and so Gopkumar asked them, "Can you please tell me what's the name of this place? Which place is this? Who is the king of this place?" And no response. But finally, when he saw a town at a distance, so he came there, and there he saw one elderly person who was crying, calling out the names of Krishna. So when he asked, that elderly person actually responded and told him that this is the town of Nandamaharaj. This is the capital of Nandamaharaj. And Krishna has gone out to tend the cows. No, when he said that this is the place of Nanda Maharaj, hearing that, Gopkumar became so ecstatic that he fainted. And that man, elderly person, quickly brought him to his senses. And in this way, Gopkumar came there and to the city of Nanda Maharaj, Nandagrau, Vrindavan, Gokul. And there he saw one elderly lady. Now to enter into Vrindavan, you must have the favorable approval of one elderly lady. Who is she? Purnamasi. Without her permission, one cannot enter into Vrindavan. And she told that Krishna has gone to the pasturing ground in the dense forest to tend the cows, and at the dusk he'll come. And then Gopkumar saw that everyone was looking at certain direction, and he He heard the sound of the cows mooing and the laughter of the boys. He saw dust flying from the hoofs of the cows. When the cows returned, the dust fly, and that time of the day is also called Godhuli. Godhuli in Bengali means the dust from the cow's hooves. That's the time just before the evening when the cowherd boys bring the cows back home. And then Gokumar saw Krishna, and Krishna saw Gokumar. Seeing Gokumar, Krishna came running, and Gokumar also naturally ran. And then we saw how the and then Krishna took Gokumar by his hand and received his long lost bosom friend. He asked him various questions. Then he greeted all the people of Braja and entered the best of cowherd villages with the gait of an elephant. So in this way Krishna arrives in the house of Nanda Maharaj. And now when Krishna entered into the house, the animals or forest animals were following him, and they became miserable that now that they have to part from him. Unable to go anywhere without him, they all just laid down there in front of Nanda Maharaj's house. They simply stood at the entrance of the village, ready to spend the entire night there in the hope of seeing their Lord again next morning. And the birds flew here and there high over the village to watch him. But when night came and they could no longer see him, they cried out as if weeping and flew away. Mother Yashoda came quickly to meet the boys. Her clothing and body wet with milk flowing from her breasts, and the tears that flowed from her eyes in love. Together with Rohini, she offered lamps to both brothers, worshipping each limb of their bodies again and again. Yashoda performed arati to her son Krishna by caressing him with her own hair, affectionately embraced and kissed him. She couldn't decide whether she ought to keep him on her head, at her breast, or within her womb to protect him. And when Mother Yashoda saw that how much love Krishna had for Gopkumar, she also happily caressed Gopkumar as if he was her own son. Then all the gopis arrived there all of a sudden, at once. Some had made excuses for coming, and others had paid no regard to what anyone thought. So the gopis came. So some gave some reasons why they came. Oh, my mother sent me to collect some milk from you, or to help you cook. But others didn't even care to give any reason why they came. The thing is, they couldn't stay away when Krishna just arrived, so they just came. Mother Jashoda and Mother Rohini got ready to bathe Krishna and Balaram. But when Lord Krishna saw this, being eager to enjoy with the cowherd girls, he said, "Dear mothers, we brothers are very hungry. So please make some rice, send for our father and feed us right away." So they gave the excuse so that Rohini and Jashoda would go to cook for them or prepare for their dinner, yes, so that Krishna could spend the time with the gopis alone. Because in front of his mothers, he could not. Upon hearing the words, the gopis and mother gopis said affectionately, "Sri Jashoda, queen of Braja, and dear Rohini Devi, please set this work of bathing aside. Please quickly prepare everything to feed these two boys. We shall gladly give them a proper bath without delay." Jashoda said, "Dear girls, first quickly bathe the older boy, then send him to fetch Nanda Maharaj for bathing." So bathe Balaram first and send him to fetch Nanda Maharaj. Welcoming and praising Jashoda's words, several of the gopis quickly bathed Balaram and sent him off. Actually, Balaram also should be there when gopis are having their intimate exchange with Krishna. So they quickly bathed Balaram, and then two mothers went into the house. The gopis divided up the service among themselves. They removed Krishna's various ornaments one by one and wiped his limbs with their own garments. But when they asked for his flute, who was like their rival consort, like their gopis are very envious of Krishna's flute. Because the flute is getting the touch of Krishna's lips all the time that they always want to have, and tried to snatch it from his lotus hand. Krishna made a sign to alert me and threw it from a distance onto my open palm. So gopis tried to snatch the flute Krishna away from Krishna, and Krishna was worried. God knows what they may do. Maybe out of this feeling of rivalry, they'll just snap it or break it. So Krishna threw the flute to Gopamaya. The gopis smeared fine oil on Krishna and slowly removed the excess with their soft lotus hand, expert in touch. Yet Krishna, either because his body was so tender or else simply out of playful naughtiness, suddenly drew in his breath, making a sound of pain, and distorted his beautiful face. Krishna made a sound as if when they were actually dusting his body and rubbing oil in his body, Krishna playfully cried out as if they're causing him so much pain. So hearing that sound, Mother Jashoda came out running and chastised the gopis. "What are you doing? Treat him tenderly." But when she saw her son's smiling face, she went back into the house. And then the gopis, laughing yet afraid, started to sing as they finished Krishna's message. Next, they playfully bathed him with warm, clear, fragrant water carried from the Jamuna in jewel-studded vessels and small clay pots. They dressed him like an actor and decorated him the way he liked, with clothes, jewelry, wonderful garlands, and perfumed pastes, all brought from their homes. They stillly fed him something, worshipped him again and again with prescribed items, and then placed those items on their head. They decorated his throat, his forehead, his cheeks, and so on with wonderful designs made with first-class paste of sandal, saffron, and musk. While Krishna lovingly gazed at the gopis, they tried hard to keep their hands steady as with pleasure they set about daubing collyrium on his lotus eyes, kajal to make them shine. And Krishna started to tell them what he did in the forest that day. And by joking with them in various charming ways, he inspired their special conjugal love. In the midst of all these loving exchanges, the decoration never quite got finished. The gopis had to keep erasing their attempts and trying again and again. Mother Yashoda, her heart perturbed by affection for her son, came outside several times to see what was going on and spoke to the girls as if angry. Mother Yashoda said, "You daughters of the cowherd, you are just unreliable children. Haven't you finished bathing and decorating him yet?" And one elderly lady noticed that Krishna seemed eager for some joking words. She therefore spoke up, "My goodness, come here, my daughter Yashoda. You will be happy to see this. These girls have made your dark blue son very handsome." Hearing these joking words from the elderly lady, her name, she was actually Mukhara, one of Krishna's nurses. Yashoda again came outside, and when she understood the joke, she spoke out as if angry. Mother Yashoda said, "All kinds of natural beauty worship the lotus feet of my Shyamasundara, who dances with abandon on the head of the universe. For sure, the beauty of all these gopis combined deserves not even a show of respect from the beauty of even the tip of one of his toenails." So, when the gopis saw that Nanda Maharaj, king of the cowherds, had taken his bath and had arrived with Balaram, they all speedily disappeared and Krishna came forward. Nanda Maharaj sat on his golden seat in the dining hall and began to have his meal with the two brothers at his sides. Yashoda's darling child sat on his left, and son of Rohini on his right. And at the strong insistence of these brothers, he sat directly opposite in my own place. I sat directly opposite to them. From inside the house, Rohini sent the emperor of meals arranged in many jewel-bedecked vessels of gold and silver. Mother Yashoda with great affection served the food of all four kinds and endowed with all good qualities, and Krishna began to eat. The four kinds of food, who knows what are the four kinds of food? Charva, Chosha, Leja, Charva, that can be chewed, that can be chesha, chosha, sucked. Leja is licked, and peya is drunk. What you are saying is six kinds of rasas. Tikto, kashai, amlo, madhur, kotu, lavan. So Krishna was eating. At one point, his mother, father, and his brother took turns carefully putting morsels into his mouth. They took turns to put food in Krishna's mouth. And Krishna playfully accepted. Now and then, he also drank all sorts of splendid beverages carried in large bowls and poured water carried in pitchers. So it's been described how Krishna was eating. Towards the end, he once again ate sweetened yogurt, various other items made from yogurt and buttermilk, garnished with astutida and other spices. And while he himself ate, he also fed Gop Kumar. While Krishna was eating, he also fed Gop Kumar. Neither words nor the mind can form a picture of how Krishna's lovely tongue rising to his dawn pink upper lip while he chewed, sported within the cheeks of his lotus face, a face resplendent with the beautiful dancing of his lotus eyes and bow-like eyebrows. The gopis brought various items from their homes also, many sweets cooked in milk, ghee and sugar, and placed them before Mother Yashoda. With wonderful playful gestures, Krishna ate from all the dishes the gopis had brought, praising every item and eating from each dish more than once. He thus made all the gopis happy. There is, huh? It's coming now. And he also fed some of those items to Gop Kumar. Krishna ate all, and he appreciated their preparation. Some, and he ate more than once, took more than once from their plates. Then Sri Radhika brought Manohara Laddus. Manohara Laddu means mind-stealing laddus. The laddus that steals your mind. Both small round ones and large flat ones, and set them down on Krishna's left. Krishna picked up a few of those sweets with his nails of his thumb and forefinger, and put them on the tip of his tongue. He then made a face as if they tasted like bitter neem. Then, seeing that Gopalaram smiled, his mother was angry at Radhika. Yashoda was angry at Radhika. And his father was surprised. Radha's innocent girlfriends were pained, and her antagonists were delighted. There is Radharani's opponent also. So when they saw that Krishna didn't like the taste of that food, so the gopis, as they're saying, Mother Yashoda became angry. Radhika, what did you cook? Balaram knew what was happening. Nanda Maharaj was surprised. Radharani's camp, girls from Radharani's camp, they were hurt. And Radharani's competitors became delighted. Since I was born in the family of Radharani's brother, Krishna threw all the laddus onto my plate. Surprised to find them extremely tasty, I ate them all. Radha secretly looked at Krishna and arched her eyebrows. This is the way I'm hitting. This is not happening all the time. It's happening once in a while when a big wave comes. Okay. Radha secretly looked at Krishna and arched her eyebrows. And Krishna, nodding his head, gratified her with a gentle smile and a sidelong glance. Suddenly I understood this was a pastime by the crest jewel of skillful actors to thoroughly please the devotees tormented by the weight of their love for him. Then Krishna washed his mouth and playfully chewed some excellent pan. Glancing at Radhika, he put the chewed pan into my mouth. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes Krishna's eating prasad. Right. Bhaja bhakato vatsala shigaura hari shahi goshta vihar bela holo damodaro aisho akhane bhogo mandire boshi karo. Tam Krishna Shukta Shakadi Adi, Nalita Kushmando, Dali Dalna Dugdha Tumbi, Dodhi Mochakhando, Mugdavara Mash Gaurvara, Rotika Gritanno, Shoshkuli Pishtako Kheer, Uli Payasa. So these are all the preparations. So, and then Hasta Mukha Prakhaliya, Jato Shakha Gani Anande Vishram Kare Baladivasa. So he put the chewed pan into the mouth of Gopkumar. Then Krishna's mother, anxious with affection, chanted mantras and rubbed his belly with her left palm again and again to make sure he would digest what he had eaten. Nanda Maharaj went out into the cow pastures. Intelligent Balaram went to sleep and Krishna, singing songs, wandered about the village courtyard. Eager to enjoy with the beautiful girls of Braja, Krishna played for a short time outside. Then out of respect for his mother, he responded to her distant call and came home and went straight to his bedroom and lay down comfortably on the bed, its cotton sheets as soft and white as the foam of milk. That spacious bed had soft pillows, some like spotless full moons, others of various kinds, and it lay on an effulgent bedstead, beautifully ornamented with shining gold bedecked with priceless gems. A splendid canopy draped with strings of pearls further enhanced the beauty of that bed, which stood in a room fragrant with agaru incense, a room whose beautiful closets were built with many valuable gems, a palatial room that excelled all others as the lion excels all other animals. Skillful Radha had made pan and wrapped it into packets and now offered them to Krishna by placing them into his mouth. And Chandravali and Sri Lalita playfully massaged his lotus feet. The gopis divided their various services among themselves. Some took up yak-tail whisks, other held boxes in a row with more pan other than others had several vessels of catching the falling remnants of pan, and others carried large pots of fresh water. Other gopis sang songs and recited prayers that were pleasing to his ear. Some played various musical instruments, and yet others exchanged joking words with him. So anyway, this is how Gop Kumar arrived in the house of, he arrived in Vrindavan and he was taken to the house of Nanda Maharaj. And this is how he was received by Krishna. Okay, so I am, I'll go to, this is the last chapter, and I'll come to some other part, which is very interesting, like that I'll do in the evening session. So, does anybody have any question? At least, for the time being, we forgot the rocking of the boat. So, rocking of the boat and splashing of the waves, falling of the utensils, and laughter of the devotees. Thank you very much. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari. Yes.